The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:49-50. According to Jesus, it's the wicked who will experience the weeping and gnashing of teeth and who will also be cast into the fiery furnace. The righteous don't experience this. One other combination of passages speaking of the same event clarifies this even further. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8:11-12. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. Luke 13:27-28. Notice that outer darkness is where people will be cast into. Its location is clearly outside of the kingdom of God. Also, the weeping and gnashing of teeth will occur not when short-sighted Christians see their works burn up, as Stanley's gospel declares, but when those who experience this see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but themselves thrown out into the darkness. The difference compared to Stanley's view of this is infinite. So why does Stanley give a conflicting interpretation of this? The answer is obvious: to perpetuate his gospel of eternal security. If the weeping and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness, as found in Matthew 25:30, refers to hell, then there can't be an unconditional security for the believer, since the one subject to this destiny was previously saved. This is obvious since he too, like the others in this same parable, was entrusted with his master's property and expected to bring forth gain over time, which could only be true in the case of real believers. God knows those who are his and expects fruit. John 15:1-6, Luke 13:6-9. The others in the parable of the talents who did bring forth gain heard the Lord say, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Matthew 25:21-23. On the other hand, this other servant who had the same potential future was consequently called wicked, verse 26, and given a different eternal destiny, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, verse 30. According to Stanley, a serial murderer or rapist might be saved. Carried to an extreme, the gospel according to Charles Stanley could not dogmatically state that the next serial murderer or serial rapist you hear about on the news is an unsaved man. According to his gospel, intrinsically linked to unconditional eternal security, which is no gospel at all, that person might have had faith in Christ at one point in his past life and is therefore still a Christian destined for heaven. To be precise, they could be carnal Christians. Since Christ died for their sins, they don't need to confess, forsake, or turn from those sins to obtain forgiveness of them, according to Stanley. They are already forgiven for their criminal acts before they are ever committed. All they could possibly lose are their spiritual rewards. While they will temporarily suffer weeping and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness for their multiple criminal acts, they will ultimately enjoy a paradise in the kingdom of God. This modern-day fairy tale produced by eternal security needs to be boldly addressed and refuted as never before. According to the Bible, only some sins committed after salvation are automatically cleansed by Jesus' blood, 1 John 1:7. This same verse, however, states that automatic cleansing is only true for those who meet the condition of walking in the light as He is in the light. Other sins committed after salvation must be confessed to be forgiven, 1 John 1:9. Therefore, we know forgiveness of future sins is not always automatic. An attitude of repentance is understood with this confession of sin, based on Proverbs 28:13. Finally, according to the Lord Himself, if we do not forgive others who sin against us, our sins will not be forgiven. Matthew 6:14-15, 18:21-35, and Mark 11:25. In contrast to what many are saying, Jesus taught we must forgive others so that our sins can be forgiven, not just so that our prayers won't be hindered. Remember, all of your future sins from the point of salvation on are not automatically forgiven according to the Lord's teachings and the Apostle John's. There are conditions which must be met to obtain forgiveness after initial salvation. When Jesus personally shed his blood and died for all our sins, John was actually there at the foot of the cross when it occurred. Yet both the Lord and this apostle deny an unconditional, automatic cleansing of all future sins. One final Stanley quote is needed at this point. Quote, when you believe that Jesus took your place and that his blood counts as the payment for your sin, then God sees you as sin-free and pure for all time. John 3:16, unquote. Incredibly, Stanley reads into John 3:16 and sees that one who gets saved is sin-free and pure for all time. Besides what was just stated regarding this issue, Paul, the true grace teacher, wrote the following to those already saved, which would be nonsensical if staying sin-free and pure for all time were automatic and guaranteed from the point of salvation on. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Keep yourself pure. 1 Timothy 5:22. Stanley contradicts Jesus. Charles Stanley taught the following, quote, "But a man or woman who has been rescued once from a state of unforgiveness need not worry. For once 100% of a man's or a woman's sins have been forgiven, the potential for being unforgiven has been done away with. The risk factor is zero. There are no more fires from which the believer needs to be saved." Unquote. Remember, the term believer to Charles Stanley can include a person who is presently living like the devil and has completely abandoned the faith. One might ask, how can a believer be a person who no longer believes? According to Stanley's gospel, this is a possibility. This must also be his definition of a Christian, since a believer and a Christian are synonyms. This also goes hand in hand with his unique interpretation of John 3:16, as already cited. In contradistinction to this type of Stanley message, Jesus taught the following about sin to those who were already believers, as the immediate context clearly shows. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Matthew 18:8-9. Sin is obviously still an issue even for Christians. According to the Lord, sin can send previously saved people to hell. This is true New Testament grace teaching. Moreover, God himself, seated on his throne, who infinitely loves us and understands everything about grace, gave the following truth. Also, let it be emphasized that it was declared after the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood for all of our sins. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Revelation 21:8. Plainly, the unbelieving are not the only ones who will be in the lake of fire, as the Calvinists teach. In fact, such is not even listed first among the eight categories cited in this verse that will. This biblical fact is devastating to the Calvinists. Perhaps this is why this verse is almost never mentioned by them. One of Stanley's strongest support passages for eternal security is easily explained away. Charles Stanley teaches that 1 Corinthians 3:11-15 is a primary supporting passage for eternal security. His exact words in reference to it are, quote, "This statement is one of the strongest supporting eternal security to be found in the entire Bible," unquote. As Stanley would see it, the ones who have their works burned up represent, quote, "believers who have no time for the things of Christ, who live their lives for themselves. One by one his deeds are evaluated, and one by one they burn. His works are described as wood, hay, and straw. His works have no real substance, no eternal value." Unquote. According to other statements made by Charles Stanley, as already cited, one's rewards will be lost through sinful behavior such as living like the devil and suicide. But is all this really consistent with what the Bible teaches about the loss of rewards? How are rewards really lost? The clearest paralleling passage in the New Testament to 1 Corinthians 3:11-15 is found in Matthew 6:1-20. In these verses, the Lord himself told us why people will or will not receive rewards and what type of works will actually be considered for a possible reward. Some will be quite surprised. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Clearly from the lips of the Lord Jesus are acts of righteousness, such as giving to the needy, praying, and fasting, all carry a potential reward, but only if we do these with the proper motive, one of not seeking to be honored here and now by man. Our motive is the quality of our good works, 1 Corinthians 3:13, that will be revealed on that day, 1 Corinthians 4:5, cf. Proverbs 16:2b. Notice, in contrast to Stanley's message, a motive of being honored by men now attached to an act of righteousness will cause that good work to be burned in the fire. 1 Corinthians 3, 11-15. Nowhere does Matthew 6, 1-20 even remotely hint, as Stanley teaches, that sinful behavior such as living like the devil or suicide will cause our good works to burn up. Please make a note of this. Sinful behavior is a totally different subject unrelated to the believer's rewards. Furthermore, it is impossible to properly equate the motive to be honored by men when doing commendable things to living like the devil by saying such is the cause of loss of rewards. Stanley connects the two without any scriptural backing in an effort to support eternal security, a teaching which removes the fear of sinning. Remember, according to Stanley, 1 Corinthians 3, 11-15 is one of the strongest statements supporting eternal security in the entire Bible. In light of Matthew 6, 1-20, Stanley's interpretation of 1 Corinthians 3, 11-15 is clearly destroyed, thereby greatly jeopardizing the teaching of eternal security as a whole, since this strong supporting passage obviously means something else altogether. In conclusion, Charles Stanley and others who endorse his scriptural misinterpretations have exalted a spiritually dangerous teaching, which they say should not even be questioned, to the place where it is inseparable with the gospel of grace. Since there is only one true gospel, Galatians 1, 8 and 9, and it is the only gospel which brings salvation, then this is the most serious error one can make as a teacher. Eternal souls hang in the balance. People continue to be misled and exposed to the ultimate danger of hell by the false gospel of eternal security. Is the believer's security, as revealed in the gospel, conditional or unconditional? Let 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, written by the true grace teacher himself, settle this question forever. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. The Apostle Paul, who is noted for emphasizing grace, stated as an integral part of his gospel the basic truth that the believer's security is conditional, even before citing Jesus' atoning death, burial, and resurrection. Since this was so emphasized by him, how dare some today omit this condition, yet claim at the same time to be truly representing the teachings of Scripture? 1 Corinthians 15:2 is often entirely omitted by the Calvinists when describing the gospel of grace from verses 1 through 4 in this chapter. The reason for this omission is obvious. By teaching that one can be sexually immoral, among other things, and a Christian at the same time because of grace, is to change the grace of God into a license for immorality. The Bible makes no distinction between one who has never been saved and is sexually immoral, and one who has been saved and afterwards becomes sexually immoral. Both will go to the lake of fire unless they repent and get forgiven. The difference between the real gospel and Stanley's gospel, for those who carry it to the sinful extreme, is as infinite as the kingdom of God is to the lake of fire. Undoubtedly, millions throughout the world are presently in danger of hell because of the teaching of eternal security, but don't recognize it. The allurement and tendency for a real believer to sin in this age is great. Even some Christians who reject eternal security fall away, Luke 8:13, and die spiritually because they choose to live according to the sinful nature, Romans 8:13, cf. Luke 15:24 and 32, and turn away from Christ to follow him no more, John 6:6-6. Since this is true, how much more readily will one fall away who accepts Stanley's type of gospel, which is so lenient towards sin's spiritually deadly effects on the soul, James 1:14-15. One can only assume it must be incredibly high. Only in eternity will the number be known, but it will be too late for those who died physically in a dead and lost spiritual condition, as the prodigal was in before he repented. How a man like Charles Stanley could teach this type of gospel message and have a thriving worldwide ministry that goes unchallenged is mind-boggling, especially in a nation like the United States, where there are so many own Bibles. This reflects how little time most spend directly in the Bible for themselves, and or how widespread the predicted doctrinal apostasy actually is, 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. Perhaps for those in ministry, another possibility could be the promotion of their own personal ministry and finances. Woe to such who know the truth yet remain silent on these issues at the expense of eternal souls. Beyond this, Stanley's book on eternal security, from where many of these cited quotes have been drawn, is endorsed by other influential people such as Hank Hanegraaff, who has an international influence through the Christian Research Institute. Before this booklet you are now hearing was printed, Hanegraaff was notified by certified mail of its preparation and warned that he too would be indicted unless he removed his endorsement of Stanley's book on eternal security. His refusal to respond is an indirect acknowledgement of the same extreme teachings given directly by Stanley himself. Together with Stanley, Hanegraaff and other advocates will one day answer to the Lord for the effects of this type of teaching. An all-important point about grace. Listener, one final point must be mentioned. True grace teaching, which is not a license for immorality, will always be compatible with all of the following scriptures. Please ponder them carefully. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. Ephesians 5:5-7. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:33. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. Luke 8:13. From this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. John 6:6-6. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:2. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Colossians 1:22-23. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Romans 11:19-23. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Galatians 5:2-4. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Romans 8:13. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Hebrews 3:14. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Matthew 10:22. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Galatians 6:8-10. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Revelation 21:8. They destroy the faith of some. 2 Timothy 2:18. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. 1 John 5:21. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. Titus 1:16. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? James 2:14. Your work produced by faith. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. 1 Timothy 1:19. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. 1 Timothy 5:15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. John 15:5 and 6. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24:48-51. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. 1 John 2:24-25. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Luke 13:24. Anyone who abominates, detests, hates his brother in Christ is at heart a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding, persevering within him. 1 John 3:15, Amplified Bible. Be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. 2 Peter 3:17. This booklet needs to be read by your friends. It's very important that this booklet receives wide circulation to counter the effects of this type of false grace message. This could make the difference between heaven or hell for many. Please pass this copy on to a friend and order additional copies for others. The price is low to facilitate a wide circulation of this booklet. This is a labor of love for God, done for the sake of His kingdom and for His glory. Additional contributions are rechanneled into our ministry to continue fighting the good fight. 1 Timothy 6:12. Our book, The Believer's Conditional Security, is the most exhaustive and comprehensive refutation to the teaching of once saved, always saved that has ever been written. This book is exhaustive, comprehensive, fully documented, fully indexed, contemporary, has 801 pages, 25 chapters, 13 appendixes, 700 plus footnotes, and 190 plus reference sources. It is available in softback for $19.95, or in hardbound for $29.95, or in voicebook for $24.95. Please add $3.50 for postage unless you're outside the United States, then send an additional $10 for postage. Please make your check or money order payable to Evangelical Outreach, Post Office Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania 15301. God bless you.